especially for you, yes. All right, well, good morning to all of you. It's nice to see all of you. Do me a favor, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to tell you about the church that I grew up in. Nate mentioned how this morning's praise team was mostly, if not all, outside of Nate and myself, everybody that was on stage this morning and Kevin on the PowerPoint, homegrown. And then I was thinking about the church that I grew up in. I want to tell you very quickly about this church. It's in Los Angeles, in a city of in the city of Glendale, okay, in the Pasadena area. And the church that I grew up in is very much like this church. It's a bilingual church. It's a Mandarin congregation and an English congregation. I grew up there from I was born into the church until I went to college. I was in this church. This church was led by a man named Pastor Wang. Pastor Wang baptized me, okay? When I was 11, Pastor Wang had the baptism class. Me and my best friend Arnold and his brother Wilbur and my brother Tim and on and on, okay? All the locals of the church, we all went to the class. We had pizza on the last day. It was good pizza because it was free. And we were 11. And all pizza's good at 11, okay? We had pizza on the last day, and we sat up on the steps of the church. There was this sort of a both side steps that led up to the main door of the sanctuary, and we sat on those steps and took a group photo. I have that somewhere. I remember it. Should have had it for you this morning. Pastor Wang, years later, when I was in seminary, he came up to the Bay Area. He actually was a speaker here at our church, at a revival meeting. The Chinese church community is very, very small, particularly amongst the pastors. And during that time, he sat down with me, and he said to me, you know, what are your plans for when you finish seminary? I was in my last year, and I said, well, I'll serve in this church. And he said, I'd really like you to come home. I'd really like you to come home and be our English pastor. I thought, wow, that's an honor. But I didn't want to come home. I was dating Cindy at the time. It didn't seem right to leave the Bay Area. My roots were already here, and I respectfully declined. And in the midst of this conversation, when he invited me to come home to serve at this church, this was almost 20 years ago, he started to reminisce about the church. The church had started to struggle. The membership hadn't turned over, so that the members that went to the church were senior citizens, and then became not just senior citizens, they were the elderly. So that the majority of the congregation, they were in their 70s and 80s. The English ministry had struggled to, in its heyday, the English ministry when I was a freshman in high school was probably about 80 people. And it was, wow, it was buzzing. It was hopping. By the time he invited me to come home to be the pastor, there were about a dozen people left. No pastor, and they took turns preaching, the 12 people. Because what else are you going to do? And he started to reminisce about this church. And he started to let me in on how he felt about the church. And he started to tear up. He said, you know, the church is having a hard time. We're not growing. This was the church that he started in 1960 whatever. This was his baby for 35 years. And he said to me at that time that he regrets one decision he made 15 years ago, 15 years prior to that. There was an opportunity for the church to move from Glendale. There are no Chinese people in Glendale. Everybody who went to this church traveled a distance to go to the church. There was an opportunity 15 years prior to that to move the church from Glendale to Monterey Park. Now, if you know Los Angeles at all, there's just a few Chinese in Monterey Park, right? Just a few, okay? No, there's tons. It's basically, you know, at the time, it was Little Taipei, okay? And he said he decided at that time it was not right to leave Glendale. And I remember at this conversation we had, he started to lament, started to tear up, started to be really sad and just heartbroken. He says, I made a mistake. And as a result, our church is struggling. Here's a man who gave his life to this church, who gave his life to my family. My mom, my father, my brother, my sister, we were all spiritually raised in this church. And he's so broken that he sees this church decline, and get to the point where it's just about to fail. 10 years ago, the church dissolved. No more members. Nobody's coming. The church had to close its doors. The church now, the church facility, 225 Chevy Chase Drive in Glendale, is, I believe it's an Armenian church, which is great because Glendale has tons of Armenians. It's an Armenian congregation. Why is it that Pastor Wang, 35 years of giving his life to this church, why would he be so broken at the condition of his church? What is it about that situation that makes him so brokenhearted, so overcome with sadness and a little bit of even guilt, of regret? It's because when we see stuff like this, when we see organizations like this, we look at it with the lens that comes naturally to us. How do you judge the health of a ministry? How do you judge the health of a church? Don't you judge it by the size of the congregation? No. We don't do that. We don't do that. Because that's wrong. And yet we do that. And even Pastor Wang, to a certain degree, he can't help but judge his own ministry by its decline. It's decline in what? It's decline in numbers. It's decline in membership. Even he struggles with that. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that that's what comes naturally to us. When we look at the health of a church, isn't it that we judge it by the things that we see, the things that are tangible? But if we take this logic to its natural end, some of the healthiest, vibrant churches in America are churches that I would say to you, you should never go there. Because their theology, their teaching, their practice is completely off kilter. But if we take it to its natural end, and we judge the quality of a ministry by the size of the ministry, those seem to be the healthiest. I'm going to admit to you right now, it's hard for me as a pastor when I meet other pastors. There is a little bit of sizing up. Okay, just imagine if we're in the startup world. Okay, we're in San Jose, we're in Cupertino, and you're a part of a startup, and you're a part of a startup, and you're a part of a startup. I'm part of a startup, and we meet each other. What's the question we ask ourselves when we meet each other? You know, hey, how big's your company? Hey, what are your sales like? In other words, I want to compare my sales to your sales. I want to compare my company. Oh, we're at 10 people. Oh, we're at 40. Oh, we're only selling $500,000 a year. Oh, we're selling them. There's a sense of just kind of sizing up. When I meet other pastors, it's a little bit like that. It's hard for us not to. This morning, I think Paul wants to remind us that when it comes to the battlefield that is our mind, this is from last week, and how there is this battle that wages within our brain, within our minds, within our hearts. There's sort of the world's value system, the world's way of thinking, and the Lord's way of thinking. Paul says, when it comes to ministry and church, the world's way of thinking is numbers, size, okay? To a certain degree, the external, tangible elements. The Lord's way of thinking is completely different. And it's this battle that Paul wants us to consider. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start from verse 12. I want to read from verse 12 to verse 18. We're going to walk through this here and see how Paul wants us to think about these kinds of things. Again, just to remind you, Paul is talking about this battle of the mind. He's talking about this comparison between himself and his opponents in the church in Corinth. He's got these opponents who have been talking bad about him. Paul comes face to face with these people. He says in verse 12, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Nor do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." We start here in verse 12. Paul's talking about his opponents who have been bad-mouthing him in the church in Corinth. And he doesn't name them, but we know who he's talking about. And Paul says, let me tell you what godly thinking is. Paul says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Paul says, let me tell you what's wrong with the thinking of my opponents. They pat themselves on the back because they judge the quality of their own work based on how it compares with somebody else's. And then when they judge themselves to be successful, they commend themselves. They praise themselves. They try to attract disciples and followers by puffing themselves up. Now, again, as I told you, it's as much as we want to have a spiritual focus, when I meet other pastors, there's a little bit of that. There is. There's that temptation, at least. You know, it's not uncommon nowadays a pastor will write a blog. I've thought about that. And then I thought to myself, if I write a blog, who's going to read it? Will you read my blog? What if my blog is about basketball or golf? My blog will be about my golf game, about this shot I hit. Is that interesting to you? No, not at all. Not at all. Thank you for being honest. Okay. Sometimes we judge one another based on how many Instagram or blog followers we have, subscribers, podcast subscribers. There's a part of me that feels like, should we be on this type of this train? To do this kind of stuff, to put ourselves out there. Should we broadcast a video of our worship service and put that online? Even putting the audio of the sermon, which is, by the way, if you don't know this, the sermon is available online for you to listen to, okay? You can stream it. Even that, I have to be honest, I had mixed feelings about. Because I thought to myself, who is this for? Why are we doing this? I don't want to do it if it actually inches me a little bit into the let's compete with one another. And I know you say, well, why are you so shallow, Eddie? No, I'm not trying to be. I'm telling you that this is my internal struggle. Because the world has influenced me of how to judge myself. The world has influenced me of how to evaluate myself and evaluate the ministry we have here at CCGC. And Paul says, this is what these guys do. They commend themselves as they compare themselves with themselves. You see, if we compare ourselves with ourselves, if we compare ourselves with other churches that are like us, hey, we're doing a pretty good job. Right? Because there's X hundreds of you, 110, 120. My friend's church only has 70. I went to a church one time in Los Altos in the South Bay. I was invited by my friend, Pastor David, to come and preach at his church. Cindy and I arrived. This was before we had children. And there were 6 people. 6 people. Because Pastor David's no good at his job. Right? He had 6. What kind of faithfulness does it take for Pastor David to serve 6 people day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday, and not get discouraged? That is tremendous faithfulness. Paul says, we don't compare ourselves to one another. That is not what we are supposed to be looking at. Even though that's what they do. They commend themselves, they pat themselves on the back because they compare themselves with themselves. They measure themselves by themselves. And that is not wise, Paul says. Verse 13 to 16. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did not get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. I'm going to stop it there for a moment in these middle 4 or 5 verses. Paul says, it's not that I'm not allowed to boast. I can boast. You see, I who am Chinese culture, we never talk about ourselves. My father used to always tell me, don't brag, never brag. Paul says, never brag about the wrong things. You can brag, you can boast, just not about the wrong things. Paul says, if you're going to boast, boast about, verse 13 and 14, however, we will not boast beyond proper limits. We will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. What Paul is saying here is if you're going to boast, don't boast about the size of the group, the things that are tangible, the things that are measured. Those are the wrong things to boast about. Boast with regards to the sphere that God has assigned to you. In other words, my friend David, who has 6 people, the question that he has to ask himself as he evaluates his own ministry is, am I faithful in the sphere that God has assigned to me? Am I faithfully serving God in the sphere that God has assigned to me? God has assigned to me these 6 individuals and their families and their younger siblings and their friends from school. How do we judge the quality of a person's ministry, the quality of our church? How do we judge it? How do you judge the quality of your own personal ministry? Are you faithfully serving the sphere that God has assigned to you? In the Chinese church world, okay, Chinese church, most of the Chinese churches nowadays are bilingual churches, if not trilingual churches. There's always an English ministry component. Amongst the Chinese churches in the Bay Area, there's only so many, okay? And a lot of them, we're all buddies. The churches are very, very close. In fact, the English pastors of these bilingual churches, a lot of us are really good friends. I have a network of probably half a dozen that I will regularly meet with, have lunch with, hang out, catch up, talk shop. I need them for retreat speakers. They need me for retreat speakers. And so we help each other out. It's really funny. Last year, I think my friend Jonathan from SF Chinese Alliance Church, this is Pam's former church, my friend Jonathan Lau from SF Alliance came to speak here. And I said, hey, John, just so you know, when you come to our church that Sunday, I won't be here, okay? Because I'm going to the other church in Berkeley to speak. It's like a wheel. We're just rotating, okay? We're just rotating. There's only so many of us. I remember when I first started here, I would get frequent invitations to speak outside of this church. It's not because I was a good speaker, or I am a good speaker. It's not, nothing to do with that. It's purely supply and demand. The demand is high, the supply is low, and the price goes up. Okay. So I get asked a lot. That's Econ 1 for you, okay? That's it. That's my extent of economics. So I get asked a lot, and I didn't know how to handle these invitations, so I asked Uncle Richard, Pastor Richard, I said, Richard, what do I do with these invitations? And this is what makes Richard amazing. He says to me, when you get invited to other churches, you should always go. I said, really? It's like once a month. He said, you should always go. Because every single time you speak, you're going to get better at your craft. All different kinds of settings. That one church with 6 people, hey, that's tough. It's tough to get excited and preach a sermon from Paul to the Corinthians to 6 people. And I thought, oh, wow, what a cool guy. He wants me. And every single time I go out, you know, it's like, hey, I'm like a traveling speaker. And then I started to feel a little bit guilty. Because if I get 12 invitations a year, that's once a month that I'm not here. And I remember at that time coming to the conclusion, this is not right. Because God didn't assign me to travel around the Bay Area to do this. God assigned me to this group. I firmly believe that the sphere that God has assigned me to is right here. So at that time, I made a rule for myself, and this is my current standing rule. My standing rule, just as approximately, is I don't want to be absent from church here, our church, our community, more than once every 2 months. Okay? 6 times a year. That doesn't include family vacation. It includes if I'm invited to be at a retreat speaker somewhere or to speak at my friends' churches. Once every 2 months, if you don't see me, that's where I am. But I don't want it to be more than that. Because it makes me lose focus as to what the sphere is that God has assigned me to. What's the sphere that God has assigned you to? For David, it's 6 people. For Pastor Wang, it was 300 people, and then 200 people, and then 100 people, and then 50 people. Doesn't matter. That was his assignment. And I'm going to tell you that Pastor Wang fulfilled that assignment admirably and faithfully. It reminds us from Matthew 25 here. Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 gained 2 more. The one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole, and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master came back to settle accounts. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, you entrusted me with five. I've gained five more. That's 100% return. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I only want to point out one thing about this story, okay? The story for me only has one purpose this morning. The first guy got five. The second guy got two. That's a different amount, okay? Five is more than two. The guy who had five earned five more. The guy who had two only earned two more. Yes, it's 100% return. But in absolute value, five gained five, two gained two. It's different. And yet, the commendation by the Lord is the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. It's the exact same wording for those two people. He doesn't care. He doesn't care how much you make. He cares that you're faithful in the sphere that he has assigned to you. In the sphere that he has assigned to you. What is that sphere for you? What is your sphere that God has assigned to you? Is it your family? Is it your children? Are your children your sphere? Are you faithful in serving your children? Is it your clique, your crew, your gang at school, your buddies? Are you faithful in serving them with the gospel? Is it your coworkers? Those who you share in your bullpen, in your cubicle area, your colleagues? Are you faithful in bringing them the gospel? Every single one of us has a sphere that we have been assigned to. It's not a question of how many people have you led to the Lord? I've been asked that question before. How many people have you led to the Lord? I don't know. Seven? Maybe less? I don't know. I mean, honestly, I can think of one guy, my high school friend, who's we were evangelizing to him again and again. His name is Sang. And Sang, senior year, says, I want to believe in Jesus. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Okay, let's pray, Sang. Sang's not a believer today. Sang's not walking with the Lord. Does that count? Do I get that as one hash mark? No, I'm not good at that. Are you faithful in the sphere that God has assigned to you? I'm going to end our time here. I'm not quite done yet, but for other reasons, we have other things going on this morning. I'm going to sort of leave you with this thought here. At the end of the day, the commendation that we seek after is not self-commendation. It's not self-praise. It's not praise from our peers. It's not praise from you. It's praise from our Lord. Praise from our Savior. What is he going to judge us on? What is he going to judge me on? He's going to ask me, were you faithful in the sphere that I assigned to you? Your sphere is 100 people. David's sphere is 6 people. Just because there's less people, he could prove himself to be more faithful than you, Eddie. Your sphere of 100, Travis's sphere is 600. I don't care. I don't care about the size. I don't care that you feel good about what you do. At the end of the day, the question is, are you faithful in the sphere that I've assigned to you? What is that sphere for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And we ask that you would first give us eyes to see clearly what the sphere is. Maybe it's our Sunday school class that we teach, the small group, the Bible study that we lead. Again, our family or our friends, our siblings, our colleagues, whatever is the sphere that you've assigned us to. Lord, help us to see that we are ministers wherever we go, and that it's not just for me and Pastor Wang and for David that have a sphere. All of us have a sphere that you have assigned us to. Father, help us to be faithful, to be humble, to seek not for man's commendation, but to seek for your commendation, so that one day we might hear those wonderful words from your mouth. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'll give you more things to be in charge of. Come and enter the joy of your master. We seek after that one commendation one day, Lord, that you might speak those words to us. So help us to be faithful in the sphere that you've assigned to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.